about the destruction of all the evil that will have to end.
It will, Lord, yes, yeah, it will end. Don't you love God, me?
All right.
It will end.
Well, all right.
Well, all right.
That's the legendary Nina Simone with Revolution. It was first released as a single in 1969, and then later that year on her album, a full-fledged album, To Love Somebody. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday. It's our weekly open forum, and you're invited to share your astute observations and analyses of the issues and events that shaped this week, or on any subject you consider worthy of further discussion or debate. Call 888-874-4888 and let's hear what you have to say that you need to free your mind of today. We start off in New York with Desiree. Hello, Desiree, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Eutrice?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Haven't called in a while, but I've been listening every day. Wanted to continue from yesterday's talk. Chris, the first caller from yesterday, really spoke to everything that I felt.
Could you just repeat or give a synopsis of what the caller said that you agreed with?
He spoke about the working class, like the 99%, the poor working class, and how we're in a state of cowardice. I'd like to add that he said the greatest fear that this government has is when we wake up, and it's hard for us to wake up. He spoke about how there really isn't, or his opinion is there really isn't a difference between what we're going to see in this Trump candidacy as opposed to what we've been going through with Obama and, you know, everyone else. And I agree. I'm really basic. Nothing's been done for me, and I just don't see a change. And I want to say in this call that it's really hard to wake people up. And I wanted to speak on your question yesterday on how can we safeguard ourselves? What can we do? And the content that we ingest every day, when we get up, when we go to work, when we go back home, when we watch TV, whatever we listen to, it is going to lead us to understand or not understand our reality and what we have to do. Down to news, down to everything. And it's got to be a change in your perspective, in what you do, and how you're thinking. And as far as me, as far as I'm concerned, I think if anybody's out there and they want to know and they want to make a change, the very smallest thing you could do is if you live in an apartment, go next door and say to your neighbor, hey, do you need any help with anything? Can I be of service to you? Can I help you with something? I think if we get out of this mentality that we are by ourselves and not separate ourselves from black, white, rich, poor, I am different from you are. And if we really just start to look at we're all struggling in this, I think that's where real change and growth and learning and perspective can come from, basically. I wrote so many notes, but yeah.
Is this always the case? You think you're ready to go, and then so many thoughts invade your mind, and you're now confused as to which one should take precedence over the other, right?
Yeah.
But that's good. That's also a sign that your brain is very active, so be thankful for that. Thanks for calling in and getting us started today, Desiree. Really appreciate
it. All right. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you. From Mount Vernon, Lincoln, you're on the air. You didn't get through yesterday. I know that.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm hanging in. How about you?
I'm persevering.
Good.
Yeah. I would like to address two things. One, the Trump phenomenon, so-called phenomenon, and the Cuba issue. I think I'll start with Cuba. Unlike most people, I don't believe that the so-called lessening of tensions or rapprochement between the U.S. and Cuba was genuine. I do believe it was a hatched by the CIA and Obama to overthrow the revolution in Cuba. And I think, you know, that's we have to be very careful not to be so gullible. And if you listen to Obama's speech in Cuba, in an oblique way, he was telling the people of Cuba that they should rise up against the system. He used words in his speech that he would never use in Saudi Arabia, etc. Like he told the people that they have a right to dissent. I mean, imagine he was visiting a country, and in his speech in this country, he told these people that they have a right to dissent. And in a place like Cuba, and in a repressive country like Saudi Arabia, he would not have said that. At the time when he announced his so-called lessening of tensions with Cuba, simultaneously, he was also putting forth the idea of sanctioning the Maduro's government in Venezuela. And both things to occur simultaneously were so contradictory. The so-called lessening of tensions between Cuba was also to isolate Russia because of the Ukraine and Crimea crisis, which a lot of people overlooked. Another thing that points to the fact that he wasn't genuine about this, he continued a line he ran during his 2008 when he was questioned in the debates between him and McCain about Cuba. He said he would allow visitation. And if you go back to that again, allow visitation means allowing the CIA more easy access to Cuba. That's what that means. But at the same time, he said he would not lift the embargo. He would leave the embargo as a bargaining chip. Now, if he was really genuine about changing the relationship, he would have lifted the embargo, which is the thing that has been most destructive to the Cuban revolution. And I think people were so quick to excuse Obama and to not realize that this man is very tricky. I really believe that he has been a CIA asset. And when you think of Obama's presidency, you must go back to the fact that Obama just didn't get up and say he wanted to be president. He was first presented by this woman, this billionaire woman. Her name was Penny. She was the one who first was toying his name around to be put forth as a presidential candidate. And people need to look into all these things and stop being, you know, giving these knee-jerk response. Because what happened is when you suffer from oppression, just like, say, you know, like black people, because we suffer from oppression. Yes, I don't believe that all white people are racist. I don't believe so. However, and I know it's that they're not. However, because of oppression, if you meet one white person who's good to you, suddenly, oh, I'm happy to have a white friend. And it's likewise with Obama. Because we have been so oppressed, we see vicariously, we're using Obama to say, oh, I have arrived, so I cannot criticize him. And we need to get out of that mentality.
Well, let me in response to that. Look, nobody is really fooling or in any way disarming or trying to make so deep an impression on Cuba and Cubans that they've lost their minds. They're very clear about their history. They're very, very, very clear about the role of the United States, past, present, and future. So they're very clear. We need not worry about whether they're reading the signals right. They got it. They have it right.
But it is sad, though, that Americans are reading the signal incorrectly, because I hear a lot of
They're reading all kinds of signals incorrectly. Mm-hmm. They're not reading just Obama's relationship or intended loosening of the guillotine around Cuba as anything in any way different from the way they see foreign policy in general. They have no clue. Or very little
information. Right, but that includes the so-called pundits. That includes the so-called progressives. You know, and I think it's even worse with them, you know, to know that these people are posturing like they're intellectuals, etc., but yet they're so naive. In reference to, hello?
Yes, listening.
In reference to Trump, I am not for not even an inkling of a second alarmed by Trump's nomination. It doesn't frighten me. I don't experience any trepidation concerning it. And to tell you the truth, I would have preferred Trump to have won than Hillary, because Hillary, if she had won, it would have been like she was being rewarded for all the vicious things she had done. And, you know, and so-called progressives, et cetera, they look so silly running around crying that she lost. And it's not just that they didn't want Trump to win. A big part of it was that they want a white woman to become president of America. And that's one of their biggest pains, including black people, and especially this white woman, because of their stupid and a foolish relationship with Bill Clinton ever since he came on Arsenio Hall's show. Now, I want to say something about
Trump. But we have to move on. We have a lot of people queued up.
Let me just say something quickly about the Trump situation, though. I think one of the things that we're failing, when you listen to Trump's acceptance speech, you will see some clues to where Trump is going. One of the things most people miss in his acceptance speech, he slipped it in. And I've never heard any presidential elect do this. Trump say, "I have to thank the CIA. These guys were good guys, and they were so." In other words, Trump went into survival mode, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to position myself in such a way that I will not be murdered, and I will be on the sides that I need to be on to be protected." And a part of there's much more, but since you have to move on, but as I say, apart from one of the reasons for his nominations of a lot of the billionaires, because Trump has to ingratiate himself with the secret government. This guy is not a fool. This guy knows how to play the game, and people are missing him because they've just seen him as this reality TV guy. This guy, he has street smarts, and they need to wake up and understand where this guy is going. Hello?
Yes, we'll see. We'll see, because we are observing. Things are in formation. We'll just see where he's going, and very soon we'll begin to, once he fills out his cabinet a little bit more, but we have enough to start with, and we will take a very detailed look, and we can see, you know, the idea is not to get flustered. The idea is to be very calm, but very, very keen as we do our analysis of this administration coming in. Thanks so much, Lincoln, for your call. Ali from New York, how are you?
Hi, my professor. How are you doing?
How are you doing, my professor?
I just wanted to say hello to the PRN audience. And I also, I wanted to make two quick comments. One, I just wanted to make it, the first one is about Fidel. After you get over, like myself, of all this light and the propaganda that when you are small, they try to brainwash your brain about this Cuba and this and all that, and including the Cubans that I have spent time with in Puerto Rico, I just wanted to tell you that being part of the of Latin American and being part of the Latino community, I'm so proud of that man. And I just wanted to say that this country, they always say the richest country in the world. And this island, that island that is so small, have been able to have more doctors per capita than any other country in the world. It says something. And also their education system. 99% of literature. People are educated in that country. So with all this propaganda and calling this man a dictatorship, I just want people to tell me the difference between a corporations dominating this country and a political system that it has helped their own people. What is the difference? I mean, because this is a big corporation who is running, and it will be running this country. So when they talk about democracy, I don't know what are they talking about. And I will have to say, Viva Fidel, forever and ever. And I just wanted to go back to the conversation that you were having yesterday.
Sure.
And I think at one time you mentioned about how the people that they're going into the cabinet could relate to us. To us, poor people, black people, the middle class, I would have to include it because some of us, even if you are in the lower middle class, you still belong to the middle class. And as a person of color, how can all these white people could relate to me? And one of the perfect example is the former mayor of New York City. This man came in with $7 billion, and he went out with $21 billion after he left the city. And Gary Noll just had a lady, and she was talking about this guy, Mnuchin. And she was talking about how this person probably going to be the Secretary of Treasury. And this man, she was saying that he was the king of foreclosure, but not only discriminated against people of color, also all people, where the houses they were taken away. So when we look at what's happening right now, and people are looking to do something, and we take a look at the Democratic Party, well, by the way, Nancy Pelosi was nominated again, a woman yes. that could hardly walk and could hardly talk. And I'm not talking about being old. I'm talking about that you don't give a chance to new people. Then how can you, if all the old people stay working at their job forever and ever, how can you replace them and bring young people to get jobs? This woman, instead of helping the Democrats, she hasn't helped because they have lost the House. Completely. And now you're talking about Schumer. I have to tell you, I was able to go to the Sheraton, and I didn't have a ticket. But with somebody else, we were able to sneak in. We snuck in into this meeting. And the keynote speaker was Mr. Schumer. And they were calling the East River the Gold Coast, which they're going to develop. So instead of us always calling you to listen to ourselves, calling your radio program, and we should still call and listen, and I don't want to offend anyone, people join groups of your interest. There is so many groups that you could find and join about being homeless, about housing, about the Social Security houses, they're going to be cut it off, they're going to the privatization, education. There is so many issues and so many things that we could do. We have to wake up people. Just calling your show is not good enough.
I agree.
Have to join groups because I'm going to tell you what is coming toward us. We already seen it with Trump already talking about 15% cutting the corporation, the taxes, and bringing it down to 15%. And then we are subsidized. We're going to subsidize all these big corporations to stay here, so the jobs could stay here, and it's going to be our taxes, like it's going to happen in Indiana. Wake up, people. It's not only to call your trees, to call your program. We need to join groups. And there are tons of groups. And the last thing that I wanted to say, these people, they cannot relate to us, because when Occupy was around, and anybody could go and Google this, go to the restaurant Cipriani, which is right across the street from 60 Wall Street, in Wall Street, and you're going to have to see how the 1% were fighting the occupiers. They have a big commercial where all of them, they got all these people drinking wine and looking down at the occupiers when we used to march in Wall Street. So right there, none of these people could relate to us. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. I agree with you entirely. And this was one of the reasons we started this discussion about being a year of reckoning. We better come to some conclusions, not only about what the problems are, but what we're going to do about it and how we are going to organize ourselves so that we form some line of defense, which we desperately do need. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes. Nice to talk to you again, Utrees.
How are you, David? How are you feeling?
Yes, I'm getting along well. I've been on television a couple of times with my friend Gums, who has the program, The Concern Forum. And I was on there yesterday. And,
oh, you're quite the media man now, huh?
Yeah, he's asked me to be on there so many times. You can see it on YouTube or on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. You know, I was reading the New York Times a couple of days ago, and I saw an article on education, and it made me think of things you've said about media literacy and whatnot. And there was an article on schools. And in the article, it said that charter schools were public schools. Now, that's an absolute lie. But that was in the New York Times. And that was in there, not because a fact checker didn't see that, but they want you to think in that way. A charter school is not a public school. And that happens a lot of times in the media, and if you don't know how to read the media and pick out these things, for example, if anyone talks about Palestine or Israel, they never mention anything about the illegal occupation of certain parts of Palestine and transferring population from one place to Palestine and expelling the ethnically cleansing people who have been there. So it's very important to have a good foundation in terms of good media literacy. You know, the word democracy is used all the time. And they've got many people thinking that the term democracy what happens here, or free enterprise or capitalism, as they call it, are the same thing. And I went to the dictionary, Macmillan, and I looked up democracy. I wanted to see exactly what it said. And it said a system of government in which people vote in elections to choose the people who will govern them. Now, when you look at that, it sounds interesting, but it doesn't tell you that the people who select the people who you're going to vote for, that's the important part. They select the people at the top, the oligarchs at the top, select those people, and then they let you vote on it. Is that democracy? I don't think so. And, you know, I think that is extremely important. And, you know, if you look up being democratic, according to Macmillan, it says, based on the principle that all people are equal and should be able to have a share in making decisions. Well, you know,
how hard did you laugh when you read that definition?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I knew these things before, yes, but I wanted to have it on paper. So I printed it out so I could call in and talk about these things. So it's very important for people to develop a sense of getting media literacy if they're reading a newspaper or looking at television or radio. Also, when I was on the Concern Forum on YouTube, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, I mentioned PRN and how people should listen to PRN. And a couple of days ago,
that was a great plug.
Yes. And a couple of days ago, I think I communicated with you, and I was thinking about the possibility of when you come up to this part of the country that perhaps I can arrange a meeting where people of the PRN family and my church can have a free to everybody meeting where you can speak, and I think that would be very important. So I did communicate with you. You must have it there somewhere, and
I haven't seen that, but I certainly closely. I haven't seen it, but thank you for the thought and the invitation.
Yes,
and
yes.
It gives me an incentive to get it together so I could get up there.
And we can work out the details.
All righty. Will do.
And all right. Very good. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for the reminding us about media literacy. Of course, we do that regularly here on the program. The idea is to encourage people into a consciousness about the use and abuse of media, and how you have to always be on guard about the information we consume. We have to be defensive. We can't let our guard down. We have to consider a lot of factors as we consume information and be prepared to throw this out or throw the other out and look at the other thing with an eye toward just not making up your mind that it is exactly the truth of what is being reported. So we have to be very careful about that. Thank you so much for calling in today. Well, let's go to Chicago. Henry, what's going on in your wonderful city?
Hey, Teresa, how's it going?
Okay, what's going on?
Well, I had a lot of things to say, but, you know, I think I reported before last time that we were we planned something for Black Friday in regards to a market. And I'm happy to report that just that day alone circulated over $10,000 in that one little community. So that was a success. However, however, you know, we were planning on, we also did a coordinated attack on the establishment where we were trying to protest as well.
But before you go on, don't go there yet. Let's go back a little bit to this effort. Just give us a succinct description of what you and others came together to do that ended up being a success.
Okay, so basically it was it was called the Umaja Supermarket. So basically we got a bunch of black businesses, black vendors to have a market on Black Friday, you know, the biggest shopping day of the year, over at the Mosque Mariam where the Nation of Islam is at. And just basically, you know, buy, you know, just black products within the community, people, you know, local area businesses that are black owned, you know, showed up at the market and just have the community just spend their money within that market. And the final report, like I said, was over $10,000 was circulated back into the community. So it's like I said before, it's a start because we have to protect ourselves economically. One of the issues within our community is too many dollars circulate out of the community by us going to stores that are not owned by us or, you know, basically stores that are outside of the community. One of the things that I would like to see, you know, and this is an effort where, you know, we had $10,000 circulate. And, you know, most of our businesses are, you know, they're basically kind of like, you know, we have restaurants, we have, you know, people who sell accessories and everything like that. You know, I would like to see more necessitative type of stuff. And we're actually working on that as well, because we have also some black-owned businesses that are trying to get, like, you know, necessary stuff like toilet paper and all the stuff that we need to kind of live. So if $10,000 for that day can circulate, I mean, if we can get more, you know, like I said, more necessitative stuff within that market and get people to open up businesses that sell that stuff, well, man, I mean, it could be a huge, huge thing. So, I, you know, we all deem it a success, and we're planning on doing it during Kwanzaa as well. So, we're going to try to, you know, keep the energy going with that.
Well, that is great news, and congratulations to you and the group for undertaking this effort and seeing it through and achieving success. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yes.
The idea was homegrown, the effort was homegrown, and it was all community-based. This is excellent, excellent news, a great, great thing that has been achieved here. So you mobilized. You know what I'm going to ask. You mobilized. To what degree did you organize?
Oh, okay.
Did you pass out cards or something and begin?
Oh, yeah.
The idea is just simply always keep in mind that whenever you do something that involves community and you see a response from the community, it's always a good thing to start also, you know, the process of organizing, because that's really, in fact, what you did. Mm-hmm. Organized. So yes. There's supposed to be a way now to bring people together in a more direct way. But really, my hat's off to you and to this group for undertaking this modest effort. And the most important thing is you saw it all the way through. It worked and it was successful. You can't beat that with a stick. Just can't.
And I will say this to you, Therese. They are noticing this. The system here, the arm of the system here is noticing this. And we've gotten some of the leaders, not even necessarily in our organization, but in other organizations, because, Therese, there is somewhat of a movement that I'm seeing that's going on here in Chicago, because there are different organizations, different groups that we're kind of, you know, trying to work out some stuff with here, and they're doing their own thing. And so we're getting these reports of certain leaders, you know, getting invited to the quote-unquote table to sit down with the administration. So when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, okay, they're paying attention. They're understanding that the people here in Chicago is not happy with what's going on, and they're doing something about it. So now system is not going to just sit there and just let us do, you know, let us do this. They're going to come with another plan. So hopefully, you know, we've also been talking to those people who've been, quote unquote, invited to, you know, take a settlement, take a payment. So far, most of them have been strong in their, you know, stance. So let's hope that we can, you know, keep that up, because trust me, like I just said a few seconds ago, the system is not going to let us just do this. They're going to counterattack in some other way.
Absolutely. Well, you should have a great weekend, just because this happened so successfully, and it's a great, great feeling, isn't it? When people come together with a shared purpose and a shared cause and a shared result. It's all about people coming together. That's great. Thanks again.
Yep.
This is good news,
right.
And you made
Thank
my day.
You. All right, thank you.
Thanks. From Florida, Buzz, you're on the air.
Hi, you make my day every day.
Thank you. How are you, Buzz? How are you?
Fine, and how's that for flattery? I'll be brief but crude. I voted for Trump for one and only one reason, and that's so I wouldn't have to see the Clintons over the next 4 years. Now, that may sound like it's a flaw in my character, but the thought of seeing Chelsea Clinton on television or the other...
I had not yet heard this reason, but
Now, let me explain something. I said the one and only one reason. Anybody who thinks or thought that there, I guess thinks is the right word, that there's going to be change ought to stop thinking. The country will continue to deteriorate, in my opinion. I don't see anything that's going to make a difference. Trump or Clinton, if she had gotten in. And I'm going to tell you, to substantiate that, one of the first things, or I don't know the first thing, but the major red flag, red, it was colored red by the blood of so many people, is Kissinger's meeting with Trump. And I wondered what the heck they talked about. And the only thing I can imagine is that Kissinger told Trump that if you don't play ball, we're going to Kennedy you. That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, I think, in a way, it certainly was to send a signal, primarily to Israel, that where his foreign policy intentions lie. And I think also it was a way of signaling to other war hawks who, in a way, regard Kissinger as a kind of demigod because he's caused so much death through war.
Absolutely.
Here's Donald Trump himself, not leaving it to anyone else, but going directly to Kissinger himself to find out what the great words of wisdom are from the demigod of war. So it was a very symbolic meeting, but it was meant to send signals to the military that they could be comfortable with a president who regards or who shares the same reverence for Kissinger as they do. And especially because Israel is going to be a major part of foreign policy considerations, that he has done his homework. He already has met Netanyahu. Now he's meeting with the man who was very, very much a Zionist, and he could count on Zionists. He has access to Zionist advice.
Well, you've analyzed it pretty well. I don't think that deeply because I have more other things to consider. But I know what Kissinger's role is. He's a mass murderer, and you refer to him as a demigod, I think. I like to think of him as a mass murderer. But it's not about Kissinger. It's just about the people who believe that something, had hopes that Trump would do something and change things. And I couldn't expect that would happen. And the same thing with the Clinton. She wasn't going to do anything different than what's going on. I listened to Gary, and I just want to say that he couldn't find a better person to follow up after his show. You're wonderful. And let me, pardon me for flattering, you don't remember this, but I was in Detroit in 2002, and someday I'm going to call you and tell you what I, as a white person in an all-black area, what my experiences were and what I was told. And you won't believe what I'll tell you. And maybe a couple weeks I'll call you and on a Friday and tell you what my take on Detroit. By the way, last thing, somebody told me they didn't go into bankruptcy. Is that true?
No, they did.
They did. That's what I thought. I listened to
it. It was
show.
Forced into bankruptcy. It okay. didn't have to go, but it was forced into bankruptcy.
Okay. Latrice, you're wonderful. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Buzz, for calling and contributing today. Julie from New York, you're on the air.
Latrice, and to PRN listeners, I just wanted
Thank
to
you.
Offer a quick observation that I went to the Cuban embassy today to sign the condolence book, and I believe you observed that on TV in Miami and other places there were no African Americans visible, but at the embassy today there were here in New York. So I just thought I would share that.
Well, that's good. That's good. What I'm saying is that in a scenario, and this happens all the time, just like when the story was about the outbreak of violence in Venezuela or the outbreak of violence in some place, you know, socialist or communist, and you see people protesting and whatnot, I always scan the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I always scan the crowd. The last experience was when... what's his name from CNN? Anyway, he was in Venezuela covering the uprising, and it was as if CNN was hoping to be there at the precise moment that things would get completely out of hand, and it didn't. And the cameras kept panning the crowd, which was all white.
And
I said, this is what happens in the same way that in the rejoicing that was occurring in Miami, the crowd was all white.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see any black Cubans in that crowd. They had a very different feeling about Fidel as the other members of the community who are the sons and daughters of the plantocracy. They were joyful, and it was a very interesting contrast, but, of course, it went unreported and unnoticed.
Yes. Well, I just thought I would share that because I went down today, and there were interesting conversations going on, so I was glad that I was able to go.
Great. Thanks a lot for calling
right,
in and reporting
you.
That.
Okay.
Thank
have a great
you.
Weekend.
Thank you. You too. Oh, okay. Gino from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Latrice.
Hello there.
Let me check this because I have two of you right now. And although two of you will be better than one with your heart and your head, let me just get this to go down because I got you in both ears now. Okay, I got just you. You converged into one.
I'm into one now. I'm merged.
You're the one. I gave up 40 minutes of sunshine. I got a landline. I haven't had sun in about 5 days. I'm getting seasonal affective disorder. And I'm in between the living room and the bedroom where my landline is, at the kitchen where the sun comes in. So I was waiting on the line about 40 minutes. So hopefully I got something to say here. Okay.
Well, let's hear what you have to say.
Okay, here we go. All right, two people mentioned Gary's previous show. I want to add to that for a moment. Folks, brothers and sisters, get your pencil out because he left out a key ingredient with his talk about the Standing Rock. I mean, the other day he had Daniel Sheehan on, you know, the lawyer.
Yes.
He had him on. He's actually there. He's actually got the courage and he's got the dedication and he's representing them. And he gave out a number to the White House. And Gary, and this, you know, he had his, something he wrote this morning and whatnot, and I can't believe he left that out. So he left that out. We're all partly human, right? And he left out the number to the White House, which it only took me 6 minutes to get through the other day. I was waiting 40 minutes today with you. So, folks, you can get through to the White House. There's a nice elderly lady I got there. And be nice to her or whoever's there. And the number to call to ask him to stand down with the Army Corps of Engineers, because they got till December 5th or 6th. And we know now there's 2,000 veterans as a buffer between the defenders of the land there and standing up for the Native Americans. And we know much harm has already been done with the water hoses. He gave a mention today with the Stasi. I would have went back to the civil rights being sticking to this country. And in cold weather, though, in cold weather, hitting these people with thousands of pounds of pressure of cold water when it's snowing there. So there's a lot of dedicated people there. So the number to call, Ali, this is a case where a number can, you know, save us walking there, those who can't get there, to the White House is 202-456-1414. Repeat, 202-456-1414. There's a treaty, as Daniel said, Laramie Treaty of 1868. Get this. This is like the other fellow was saying, Dave, with the misuse of language. You know, you treat your money in the bank, you put there, you worked hard. That's an entitlement. So you don't mind if I come over later and use it, right? Because that's an entitlement. You don't deserve it. So that's what they do to Social Security. Right there, they start out the lie, the Trojan horse. It's an entitlement. They took our money, they put it aside. It's supposed to be for us later on. They used it for wars and other things, and then they say we're running out of money. Puzzle missing? So basically, that was one thing about that. Now, you know, in the Bible, there's a section, because to enlarge upon this, I don't see, like the other man was saying about Kissinger, that figure of death. How they stay around? The war criminal. They can't go to certain countries. And when Hillary embraced him, and now Donald, in the Bible, you know, it says for those who have ears to hear and you know, eyes to see, you know, Elijah, 1,000 years before Jesus, was to come to announce the Messiah. Jesus said he did come. What they did to him, they're going to do to me. He was preparing his disciples for his own crucifixion. And it says, for those who have ears to hear. Then he spoke of John, it says. And those who have ears to hear, let them hear. So John came back twice. It's a spiritual democracy. We all keep coming back till we get it right, unless you come through voluntarily, like the really high evolved souls, to help us out down here. So one day these people, these 60 people who got half the world's wealth, when they find out, like that rich guy in the Bible did that didn't take care of the poor, went to a burning place, and the other guy was in a blessed place, the poor one. When they find out that the laws of gravity, which we cannot see, and anybody question it, step off the roof and see if it's real. The laws of gravity are as real as the laws of karma. This is in the big picture, because nobody, even Gary included, who said, I never want to be a politician because I don't want to get shot. Not everybody's a king or a Gandhi. We all know that. All of us get a little shaky when it comes to our mortal body, unless we really tune into those, like those real dedicated folks do. So they're not going to, you know, the people, as Daniel Sheehan showed, who are behind, the rulers behind the realm, the rulers behind these puppet politicians, who, you know, the ones like the Bushes and the Cheneys and the Dulleses and his uncle, and that were in cahoots with the Nazis, and I don't think that chain has broken, as you see how they're setting them up in Ukraine and all that, and Poland with the missiles. They are not going to be stopped. They tried to take out Roosevelt. They tried to kill him twice, and General Smedley Butler, the highest-ranking Marine, testified in Congress to that. They did take out Kennedy. So Gary and most of us, and all of us on this radio show, any radio show, are not going to stop them. What's going to let them, they need to see is the mirror that the folks who are really in touch with that reality, the really high spiritual souls that live these truths, that can manifest beyond their five senses and tell them things like Dick Gregory used to do, tell you things that you can't get, you know, from a phone call. These folks, and that's why I went back to once before, the only guy I know in 43 years of studying with no education who was documented by a great skeptic who became a great believer, Sidney Kirkpatrick in The American Prophet, recently written 14 years ago with 7 years of research. He went to disprove it initially. These figures show that these truths, these laws are real, and that's the only mirror you can put to them before the earth changes hit, before, you know, the economic tsunami hits really bad, worse than the 29. And for those folks out there listening, get yourself your house prepared. Get your foundation really, really centered within you. It ain't coming from these people we put so much attention on. It's like, at the end of the day, how much do we think of the evil ones and how much do we think of the good people? And how much do we act upon the key? Act upon the advice of the good people who've laid their lives down for us to wake up. So basically, again, give a call, please. Wait a few minutes because that day, 5th or the 6th, they'll unleash those forces on those people. And Obama, you got a he's got a chance to improve his report card a little bit, a little more honor, to do something with some courage. You don't have to please anybody. Do something with some courage. Be nice if you let out Leonard Pelletier also. Do something with some courage and tell them to stand down. Don't renew the company's lease, which I learned the other day is Sunoco and Wells Fargo with these front little groups, fronting them. They're behind it. And Donald's got $500,000 invested in that. So hopefully he has some courage to do this last little thing he could do to prevent another modern-day kind of massacre. And it's, like Gary said, they have the lowest, rate of survival of the five races. And it's the least he could do. And by the way, in that treaty of 1868, you'll get this. Dave will like this. It says, if anybody comes on this land to hurt you or efface the land, we, the government, will come and protect you. That's actually in the treaty, Daniel Sheehan said. And by the way, folks, check out his website. He's got a lot. He's got a courageous spirit. He's very intelligent, and he puts a lot of the pieces together, and he's spiritually oriented, not in a little box way, but within our own temple, the kingdom is within way, for those who are very independent, as most of the people listening to you and calling in are. But take it that next step. Stop focusing too much on these people. They are out for themselves, their small self, and let them learn their lessons the hard way. But we organize in ourselves, we organize our conscious, subconscious, superconscious, we organize with our loved ones, our neighbors, we feed the cat in the backyard, and we do what we can do, all we can do, and even though it seems like small things, we keep a smile on our face with a peace that passes understanding with all that's going out there with these very ignorant folks, to be putting it mildly and politely. So, Yatrice, thank you for listening to me. I'm going to listen to you back in the kitchen and feed my pineal gland and keep that seasonal affective disorder away. So, sister, stay well, and I'm glad you're still there. God bless.
Thank you, Gino, for your call today. Well, look, we've come to the end of our program, pretty much. We have a little few minutes extra. But I'd like to talk about something that is very important, and that is to really consciously make the effort to do something. What is ahead is not, it's not pretty. And we shouldn't be paralyzed with fear of anything. Certainly, we can always say that those who came before us must have gone through similar or even worse. So we have that as a consolation that they managed to pull through. We will pull through. But how? How will we pull through? And when we do pull through, what would we have gained? What would we have contributed to the next generation, the next leg of the race? We have to, I think, just take some time in the middle of all of this craziness. And the only thing that you want to look for, the first thing, is to just get as clear a picture as you possibly can. Not only of what is coming against you, but also to really understand how much power we each have. We really have a great deal of power. We sometimes are afraid to admit it, because in admitting it, we have to exercise some responsibility for it, to shepherd it, to safeguard it. So sometimes it's easier not to even think about us as being powerful people at all, because we would then have to assume responsibility for doing something, how we use this power effectively. But we have to do something. And if the only thing we accomplish in the immediate instance is just an assessment of where we can make a difference and how we could make a difference in our own lives, in the lives of people that we have responsibility for or in some way are connected to, and in the broader sense, the larger community of which we consider ourselves apart. I think one of the benefits of an atrocious time like this is that it should force us to confront the realities that we have conveniently ignored for so many years because it was the easier thing to do. But let's, in some way, broach this big issue, this looming issue of arriving at a sense of clarity about where we are and where we are in relation to the larger picture, what we can do. The news today from Henry in Chicago was spectacular because here was living, breathing testimony of a group of people of which he is a part and in which he exercised some degree of influence and leadership to get something started, and it succeeded. You know, I am not impressed with all the big bells and whistles and this great show, and then it fizzles in 2 seconds. But steady, being steady on the course, that's what's impressive to me. So this is the weekend. Surround yourselves with really positive people who add positive dimension to your life. Do some thinking, not too much. You deserve a little bit of space to enjoy the moment. And we'll see each other on Monday. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Dr. Jack Rasmus with Alternative Visions. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. I mean this from my heart. It's a pleasure, always a pleasure, and a great privilege to be in your company. See you Monday. Bye-bye.